Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Figure It, the podcast where we look at the facts and statistics on Cyprus and figure out what it all means. My name is Fiona Mullen and I'm the Director of Sapienta Economics. Today I'm going to talk about the proposed windfall tax on banks. It's been quite a while since I did a podcast. One reason is because an interviewee whom I had set up a couple of months ago got sick and we never got round to rescheduling. I will get back to that in the new year. But the second reason is because in 2025, I decided to commit to doing one piece a week on Substack. That's the newish platform that started out as a newsletter platform, but which now does videos, live videos and podcasts as well. And it's really quite a commitment to do that once a week. So it hasn't left me much time for podcasts. But what I thought I could do is bring here some of the stuff that I've been doing on the newsletter. So in this episode, I'm going to read out an article that was published on the 19th of December, 2025. It's a bit number heavy, but I'll try to read it in such a way that you can follow it even if you don't have the charts in front of you. So here goes. A windfall tax on Cyprus banks would be a mistake. After years of losses, bank profits have already peaked. You know when parliamentary elections are coming in Cyprus, May 2026, because political parties start to make legislative proposals that are bad for the economy, but they hope will scrape them a few votes. The latest is a proposal for a windfall tax on banks, put forward by the opposition Progressive Party of Working People, AKEL, which has 15 seats in Parliament. Below, I'm going to argue why I think it's a bad idea. If you don't have time to read on, if my calculations are right, it will take a big chunk of profits. It adds costs at a time when banks are already facing a bigger hit on profits from capital requirements. It missed the fact that the very large tax revenue the government receives from the banks is already at risk from Revolut. And it also misses the fact that after a long period of losses and a small period of good times, bank profits have already peaked as interest rates fall. Opposition bills matter because governments in Cyprus are typically a rather precarious coalition of different parties. This means that bills can sometimes get passed, opposition bills. The Republic of Cyprus has a presidential system. There's a president who runs the Council of Ministers, which is the executive or cabinet. And unlike, say, the UK, the cabinet does not include anyone from the single chamber House of Representatives or Parliament. Nevertheless, cabinet ministers in the ruling coalition are normally allied with political parties. Therefore, those parties are expected to back the government in Parliament. The current government, led by Nikos Christodoulidis, is backed by three political parties, the Democratic Party, DIKO, with 9 seats, the Democratic Alignment, DIPA, with 4 seats, and the Movement of Social Democrats, EDEC, also with 4 seats. So that's only 30% of the 56-member parliament. The government therefore has to rely on the Democratic Rally, DC, with 17 seats, and potentially others to get legislation through. I actually quite like this system. It means that voters see politicians setting an example by working with their fellow mortals. In the UK, where I grew up, it seems to me that the first-past-the-post system encourages a kind of adversarial politics that just divides people, leaving everyone feeling alienated and miserable. However, coalition parties do have their downsides, like opposition parties cobbling together enough support to push through bad legislation. Now, what are AKEL's proposed tax on banks? AKEL's proposal is not a tax on profits, but a tax on net interest income. So this is like taxing a company's core source of revenue without taking into account the considerable tax it's already paid, or any money it has to set aside for non-performing loans in the case of banks, or its non-interest expenses such as voluntary redundancies. So specifically, AKEL is proposing a 20% tax in 2024 and 2025 on any net interest income that exceeds 40% of its level in 2022. In 2022, interest rates were still pretty much on the floor, and data from the Central Bank of Cyprus show that banks were still making losses on average. Note that this proposal is separate from the 0.15% levy on deposits that goes into the Financial Stabilisation Fund and which Akel has previously sought to repurpose for social purposes. If that had been the main idea, then it wouldn't have been so bad. It would not be a new tax as such. It would just be redirecting it for social purposes. And everybody knows that we need more affordable housing. However, the proposal looks set to be a much larger and newer tax on banks. And there are plenty of arguments against it. Before I go any further, let me say for the purposes of transparency that subscribers to Sapienta Country Analysis Cyprus, my monthly deep dive, include big foreign institutional shareholders in Bank of Cyprus and Hellenic, now Eurobank. But I would not be arguing the following if I did not actually believe it. Now, the first reason why the tax is a bad idea is that, according to my calculations, it would take a large chunk of profits. For Bank of Cyprus, based on its annual accounts, I calculate that a 20% tax on net interest income that exceeds 40% of 2022 levels would mean a windfall tax of 69 million euros in 2025. This is 14.6% of what can be expected profits in 2025. For Eurobank, before the Hellenic merger, I calculate a cost of 19 million euros, or 9.4% of profits. These are similar to figures calculated by others. Another reason against the tax is that banks already face a direct hit to their profits from higher capital requirements. From January next year, all banks in Cyprus will have to put aside an extra 0.5% of capital, so that's 1.5% capital in total, in order to meet the new counter-cyclical buffer, CCYB, from the Central Bank of Cyprus. On top of that, they will also see rising costs from the other systemically important institutions known as the O-SIIS buffer. The OSII for Bank of Cyprus is going to rise from 1.9375% to 2%. And before its takeover, Hellenic Bank's was due to rise from 1.5% to 1.75%. So in total, the two largest banks are going to see an increase of 2.25 to 2.5% for both buffers. Now, the buffers are set aside as capital. And anything you set aside as capital in a bank is taken right off your profits. So sure, the financial statements suggest that the banks have already raised most of the capital to meet those requirements, but that does not mean that they would really rather spend it on something else. Now, rising capital requirements is part of a trend that's been going on for years in order to try and prevent the problems we had in the Cyprus financial crisis of March 2013. You can see from the chart, which is in the newsletter, that in December 2012, right before the crisis, Cyprus had a, open quote, tier one capital ratio of only 5.4%. Today, it's close to 26%. In short, it's not as easy for banks to make money as it once was. On top of that, banks are spending more on digitization and cybersecurity, as well as facing competition from the likes of Revolut. Now, I admit that part of me, the part that squeals every time I get a rubbish exchange rate or I'm charged €3 to pay for a subscription in a foreign currency, that part of me welcomes competition from Revolut. But we should also acknowledge that banks in Cyprus pay a lot of tax from which we all benefit. Central bank data show that banks paid 207 million euros in tax in 2024 and 164 million in 2023. That's 5.4% of all corporate and personal income tax in 2024 and 5% of all corporate and personal income tax in 2023. Now, although Revolut has opened crypto services in Cyprus, its EU headquarters are in Lithuania, so most of the tax it pays will go there. Therefore, if you squeeze bank profits by applying new taxes, the government is going to have to find the missing revenue from somewhere else, and it might decide to put more taxes on ordinary folk instead. Now, one of the reasons why Akel and others want to whack the banks is because of high interest rates. However, thanks to a combination of local pressure and global trends, lending rates in Cyprus have actually been falling. European Central Bank data show that rates on new housing loans in Cyprus peaked at 5.37% in November 2023. That's rates on new housing loans. but they dropped to 3.07% by October 2025. So they went from 5.37 in November 23 to 3.07 in October 25. Similarly, rates on new small business loans, they peaked at 5.69% in November 2023. And although their course has been a bit more choppy, they were 4.63% in October 2025. So from 5.69 to 4.63. Large business loans have seen quite a steep fall. They peaked at 6.44% in May 2024, and they dropped to 3.73% by October 2025. When we compare with the Eurozone, the 3.07% interest rate on new housing loans in Cyprus is now actually lower than in the Eurozone, where the average was 3.30%. So 3.07% for new housing loans in Cyprus and 3.3% Eurozone average. Interest rates on business loans are still higher than the Eurozone, and the difference is most pronounced for small business. So small businesses are paying 4.63% versus 3.59% in the Eurozone for loans below 1 million. That was October data. But at least the trend has been downwards. As interest rates fall, margins on lending to business, the difference between lending rates and deposit rates, have also been declining. They reached 2.52% in October, compared with a peak of 4.83% in January 2023. So they've dropped from 4.83 to 2.52. Moreover, Cyprus margins are no longer the highest in the Eurozone as they were a few months ago. In October, that prize was taken by Ireland at 3.26%, followed by Malta 2.68% and Lithuania 2.58%. Cyprus, as I said, is 2.52%. All these trends add up to a squeeze on profits. So from a peak of 384 million in the third quarter of 2024, the after-tax profits of banks have been on a declining trend, reaching 314 million in the second quarter of 2025. Moreover, this is after years and years of losses, when the banks were pushed into losses because they had to put more and more capital aside to cover for non-performing loans. And in case we've forgotten, one of the reasons why it was so difficult for banks to tackle bad loans was because Parliament took years on end to pass the laws that would help the banks reduce them. So we have a situation in which the banks made losses for years. They finally start making a profit thanks to a combination of cutting bad loans and higher global interest rates. Also, they have finally started to attract stable foreign institutional investors. These are the kinds of shareholders and board members we want because they're far less likely to assume, as some did in the run-up to the 2013 crisis, that patriotism alone can save a bank when it's running into trouble. But instead of seeing profits at last as a good thing, the first thing some politicians want to do is go and raid them. It's not a good idea, and I really hope that they do not manage to pass the bill. That's it from me. If you like listening to this instead of reading it, let me know and I'll do more of them. That's it. Bye.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. Island Talks. Open, diverse, free.